Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation where we explore the subject of covenants and what this means for us today. And this is part 4. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, source of all light, by your word, you give light to the soul. Pour out on us, we pray, your spirit of wisdom and understanding, and as we explore your word, may our hearts and minds be opened. Amen. In part 4, we come to what has been called the Abrahamic covenant, or the covenant of promise, which is what I prefer to call it. Our reading is from Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, through to chapter 12, verse 3, and I'm reading from the NIV. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Just to there. And so may God bless his word to us today and always. In our reading, we discover a very special covenant with a man called Abram. And again, particular grace is evident, for Abram was called out from his pagan family by God, with no indication of why God chose him and not another, except by a sovereign act of grace. The covenant of promise is therefore special for several reasons. First, let's consider God's call to Abram. Immediately we see that it is more a solemn call and charge than a modest suggestion to leave his family and then be blessed. Instead, God said, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." What is evident here and later with all that God says in the wake of his initial call is that there is nowhere any suggestion of an agreement or contract which might imply negotiations between two parties. Rather, God sovereignly dictates the terms of his covenant with Abram. Abram's part would be to respond in obedient faith to that call. This, of course, is the same for us today. It's a matter of joining our hearts to the covenant by responding to the call in faith. Second, if we consider again what is seen as the inauguration of the covenant by a ceremony, which took place in Genesis 15, God, it appears, condescended to cut a covenant with Abram, in terms and with actions that were familiar to him, as this was how people and tribes did it in that day. The reason for this was to assure Abram that what God had said in our reading, he would cause to come to pass. Abram, in a moment of anxiety, was concerned that the son promised by God would not arrive, since he and Sarai were both quite advanced in years. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 3 to 4, God speaks to Abram and reassures him, saying, "A son from your body will be your heir." On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, as two humans or tribes would do in their ancient world, and it included the promise to give to Abram's descendants the land which would ultimately be the land the Israelites would settle in. So, on that day, says O.P. Robertson, by this divine commitment on God's part, Abram's doubts are to be expelled. One might say that this was unnecessary, for God is not a man that he should lie. He keeps covenant perfectly. Thirdly, what is peculiar about the covenant of promise is that there are delays in the fulfillment of the promises of God. Not because God is slow or tardy in keeping his promises, but because God has a program or timetable that we are not privy to, and neither was Abram. But these delays are a feature of the covenant of promise, as they invite God's people to live before him by faith. And this was a key element of their stories, as mentioned in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 13, where it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." And so the first delay we encounter is that of a son. And this, as mentioned earlier, is a source of anxiety and concern for Abram, because he and Sarai were well past their parenting years. But we know that, despite the mistake of Hagar and Ishmael, God in his faithfulness provides them with Isaac, the biological son of promise, and Abram's true heir. Second, we see the delay in the fulfillment of the promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, that Abram would be made into a great nation. But at least in this matter, Abram was made aware of God's plans. Remember in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, God says to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years." Yet Abram would not be able to tell when exactly it would take place, only that it would serve a purpose, to bring judgment on the nation that his descendants were enslaved to, and also to deliver Abram's descendants from their captors, as well as providing them with great possessions. This is in Genesis 15, verse 14. Of course, the question arises, why must such an extended period of hardship be endured by Abram's descendants? The answer, however difficult to digest, would seem to be in God's purposes. For in chapter 15, verse 16, after God tells Abram that he will live long and be buried at a ripe old age, he says of Abram's descendants, "And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." It seems that God, in his purposes, was waiting for a time when the Amorites would no longer be permitted by him to have the influence, control, and power over the region they currently had sway over, which was the region that God had promised to Abram and his descendants. So, not only would there be a delay in the realization of the promise of a great nation, but also the delay in living in a land that was promised. But this promise finally is realized with the arrival of Moses and then Joshua and the entrance of Israel into the land God gave them. Finally, we see a delay in the promise of descendants. And it is here that we need to take note of something significant. The man who started his journey with God was named Abram, and his name meant exalted father. But it is later that God changes his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. See Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, where God says to him, "No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." It is in this name change that God expands the terms of his covenant with Abraham and introduces a picture that Abraham no doubt could not see fitting into his current circumstances, yet he believed God. The Apostle Paul would later make the connection that Abraham is the father of many nations through the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ. For, just as in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we read that Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness, we, the Church, are credited with the righteousness of God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as God's provision for salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and right relationship with God. This is quite explicit in Paul's letter to the Galatian church in chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, where he says, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham, meaning those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith, said Paul. And so as we conclude, we see that God continues to fulfill his promise to Abraham, bringing people from all walks of life, every tribe, language group, and nation into his kingdom. This covenant of promise finds its final fulfillment in the covenant of consummation, which will bring us to the end of days. And so I hope this has made sense to you, and that you will join me next time for part 5. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not like humans who struggle to keep their word. Instead, you are faithful in every way and keep covenant with your people. Thank you that, with Abraham, we share in a saving faith as we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Amen. And God bless you.